one breath together. This play is called Harvest Time, and there are two characters, Mara, a well put together woman in her 70s or 80s. Guess who? And Ruthie, Mara's granddaughter, 16 years old, dressed indifferently in workout clothes. The time is the present. The place is inside Mara's studio apartment on the west side of Manhattan. One little note, the Yiddish word for grandmother is Bubby. Any of you heard that before? Right, okay. Mara is sitting in a comfortable chair, reading the New York Times. A glass of wine and a telephone is on the end table by her side. Ruthie is outside across the street, talking on a smartphone. Mara tries to ignore what she hears through the telephone's answering system and continues to read the paper and sip her wine. Pick it up, Bubby. Pick it up. I know you're there. I'm going to keep calling until you pick it up. You're acting crazy. Just talk to me, damn it. Pick it up! Bubby, you can't do this. Please, please, pick up the phone. I'm getting nauseous. You're really upsetting me. Do you want me to throw up? Ah! Yes. Okay. Thanks for answering, Bubby. Stop with the Bubby business. What do you mean? Just what I said. Don't call me Bubby. I'd rather not talk to you at all. But if you insist on talking to me, call me Mara. I'll call you grandmother. Is that okay? No, it isn't. Not Bubby, not grandmother. I resign. I'm coming over. I'm right across the street. You have to talk to me. You're acting like some Old Testament wrathful God. You don't like what I did, so off with my head. What story are you referring to? In Genesis, Leviticus, or Numbers? Stop it. You know what I mean. I do not know what you mean. I do not understand you at all. I'm coming over. Don't come here. Ruthie knocks on Mara's door, waits. She knocks louder. No answer. She bangs as loud as possible. Do you want me to start screaming? The neighbors! Aren't you worried about what the neighbors will think? Mara gets up, opens the door without acknowledging Ruthie, walks back to her chair, sits down and takes a sip of wine. I can't believe you. Talk about overreacting. Your behavior continues to be increasingly eccentric and unacceptable. Do you want me to put on sackcloth and rub ashes all over me? Actually, that would be appropriate. If you had to shock us, why didn't you put a ring in your nose or your navel or your tongue? No, you had to go to an extreme that is beyond offensive. You planted the seeds. You insisted on a Jewish education, Hebrew lessons, a bat mitzvah. You had us light candles every Friday night. And Passover, talk about extremes. We had matzah coming out of our ears. Matzah brei, matzah ball soup, matzah blintzes, matzah s'mores. And all that talk about tikkun olam, how everybody has got to do something to repair the world. Well, that's what I'm trying to... I should have never let you call me Bubby. All your friends called their grandmothers Nana. Maybe if you had called me Nana, I bet you wouldn't have done it. You haven't even seen it. You're freaking out about something you haven't seen. What is so terrible about getting a tattoo? Tattoo? What you did is not a tattoo. It's an obscenity. You didn't put a rose or an eagle or namaste on your arm. Your mother said you tattooed 6 blue numbers on your left forearm. How could you? Where did such an insane idea come from? Your New York Times. I saw a story about teenagers in Israel who are tattooing their grandparents' concentration camp numbers on their arms. There was this one girl whose grandfather bent down and kissed it when he saw it. I always thought Israelis were nuts. Were you expecting me to do the same? Ruthie, are you out of your mind? I am not a Holocaust survivor. Your parents are not Holocaust survivors. You are not a Holocaust survivor. I'm not stupid. I know that. The blue numbers on my arm, they are about today's Holocaust. Not the one from World War II. I'm just using the symbols so people will pay attention. I can't talk to you anymore. It's too bizarre. You must be on drugs. Just look at it. Just look at it. Really, really look at the numbers. Do you recognize them? You are on drugs. Why in the world would I recognize a concentration camp number? You don't listen to anything I'm saying. It's not a concentration camp number. It's not a concentration camp number. It's not a all right. I heard you. So what is it? Look at it. 571997. It's a date you know. Think about it. You celebrate it every year. Ruthie, I am on my last nerve. I am not going to play games about this a second longer. 571997, May 7th, 1997. Oh, my God, that's your birthday. Good, good. Information beginning to come through. Now, look again. The numbers are tattooed onto something. What is it? I don't know. This is ridiculous. Some kind of globe or something. It looks like a little, I don't know, maybe the world. Bullseye. So, you've tattooed your birth date on a picture of the planet? I just don't get it. You don't get it. Because you don't want to get it. My friends don't get it. My teachers don't get it. The politicians don't get it. No matter how many heat waves, floods, wildfires, droughts, heating oceans, dying animals and plants, millions of desperate migrants, nobody gets it or talks about it or does anything. This obscene tattoo is just saying that I was born into the Holocaust of the whole world. Please, Ruthie. Calm down. Calm down. You mean like the Germans who saw the camps and the trains and the smoke and didn't do anything? Of course I don't mean that. Bobby, my kids won't be able to go outside and play and still breathe, but that's okay. Because no way am I going to bring a child into a dead world like that. Ruthie, you're jumping to conclusions. You can't know for sure. How can you say that? When you read that damn paper cover to cover every day, you know it's true. You know it. All right. Even though I try not to, in some way, I know. Oh, Bobby, please stop trying. So if I let myself know, what good will it do? I won't feel so crazy, so alone. We'll convince the family, your bridge club. Oh, I don't know. At least we won't be pretending. Come here. Sit down. Here. Put your head on my lap, like you used to. Mara strokes Ruthie's hair. Remember the way I would comb your hair when you were little? For a really long time. Don't despair, Bubba. This much I know. Somehow, in some way, life goes on, no matter what happens. Life goes on. Mara hums a lullaby, lights dim slowly to black, end of play. Thank you.